I mean, it's up there a lot. He goes to Capo a lot. Him and his wife, B, she works for the BBC, and he's a photographer.
I don't know who you mean, but yeah. They're
neighbours
of yours around here, then, are they?
Oh, up the top there. I mean, we've got all sorts of things here. There's a quite well-known doings along here. Cartoonist.
Oh, well, that's the right one. Martin Rouse, the guy, he does them for The Guardian and the... Isn't that
right? Yeah, he's it for all the big papers, yeah. Mm. Nine, well, it's $2-3 along. No, you'd be surprised. You'd know the different sort of occupations and things that other people know. But I've got a nice stretch of neighbours here, you know. We all try and help each other. Unfortunately, I've got my son, and he's excellent. He's a very good cook and a bloody good chauffeur. Otherwise, I
would... Does he live here with you, Lynn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes he has to go up to... Manchester. He drives up there and back in the day and all that stuff. It's about 250 miles up and 250. So he's doing about 500 miles sometimes in a day, but sometimes he's up there for 2 or 3 days. But I can cook. I mean, my kitchen is big enough for me to get from the stove to the working surfaces and all that. That's why when we came here, my wife was pleased that. She didn't have one of these bloody great kitchens, you know, with the long tables and God knows what. She just wanted somewhere where she could cook, and that was an idea to walk out there.
And is your daughter around?
She's down at Tunbridge Wells, so she's got 3 boys, and they're all at uni now. The oldest one, just about leaving now, is 20 odd. They're all at uni.
Right.
But it's a good girl. See, Colin's here because he has no commitment as such, barring myself. But she's got 3 boys, so I don't expect her. And she's got a very good husband. We get on very well. And we go down to see her a couple of times, and she might pop up here. And I've got a very good relationship. No, I'm very happy with mine. I'm very happy with my lot. I was born into a good family. I mean, 6 boys and 3 girls. What more can you want? And they're all dead.
It's sad, isn't it? But somebody had to be the last one, unfortunately.
Well, they always said that to me, you know. You'll be the last, yeah.
Did they all, just to go back, did they all make it through the war then?
Finally, you know, it's one of those things that people have asked me before, but one was in the, they were all in occupied, what's names, you know, they couldn't get out from it. One worked at Brabies, who was a very well-known firm at the time, but I don't know if you've heard of them, Brabies. They used to be at Deptford on the canal bank there, had a factory along there. They moved down to Begley Heath. Another one was already in the heavy rescue squad, so they couldn't let him out of there. Ted was blind in one eye. Very unlucky. His brilliant sort of mind he had. He won 3 scholarships. He won the trade scholarship. He won the junior county scholarship, and he was invited to go to the Christchurch school. But they wore long smocks with yellow stockings, and when he was a baby, well, very young, he broke his ankle. And they had reset it 3 times before they got it right. And that put him off a life, because when he was older, I was playing in the garden, and Ted came out. He was working in Woolwich, but he came out and kicked the ball, fell and broke his arm. And the hospital told us that he refused to have the men... never mind. He refused to have done with doings to put him out.
Anesthetic.
Anesthetic. He refused anesthetic. And he had the arm set again.
Without any anesthetic?
Without, yeah. And he was so scared of his, from a kid right the way through. Old Ted. Terribly up, but he was, you know, brilliant mind. He worked for Elliott's. He was an instrument maker. And he finished up a top dog with the instrument. He was in the local paper when he died. And he was also a good musician. He wrote several songs. His wife, well, she married again, but I'm in touch with her, and she tells me that all the copyrights will go to my son, you know, of the songs that he wrote. I've got one or two sort of doing
CDs. Recordings of them and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And they're all different shows that I've been in, some of them on CDs and all that.
Yeah. Well,
when I did Fiddler on the Roof about... I did Fiddler on the Roof three times down at the old cinema down there. What's it called?
The cinema.
Yeah.
We'll have to get some... some recordings of you to play with the interview.
Are you saying, if I were a rich man, I sang that so many times. I sang it there, I sang it at the Bob Hope, I sang it at the Greenwich, I sang it at Dartford, all over the bloody place. But I loved
quite,
it.
Probably a lot of fun, actually, I imagine, that role, wasn't it?
Pardon?
I imagine that role was quite a lot of fun for a singer.
Oh, it was great. The dialogue is tremendous, Oh, dear. Still patches of the dialogue come back to me, you know. But,
A thespian and a lovey at heart.
Eh?
A thespian and a lovey.
Oh, dear. No, I've sung most of the popular things. I've sang in them. You know, I was always a park guy. Seeing I was at the top of the West End, lots of amateur companies used to sort of... it's either the conductor or the producer that would say, Len, would you come, you know... I'd go. I knew there'd be a sort of opposition straight away from the inside clique, but I could ignore that because once I started, they'd think, oh, yeah, she's different, you know. And I'd have members of the company say to me, anyway, all the difference in the production. And that was to bring very different companies.
That's all you can ask. Really,
if you name a company, I've got a part of that.
Yeah. Great. Well, that's a real kind of legacy, isn't it? Yeah.
No, I was very pleased with that. Anyway, that's a lot, gentlemen.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to hit the stop button now.
Yeah.